Attention Earth Peter Pan Syndrome community. The following podcast is not real. And not only that, it was not recorded live back in March at Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle. That's right. This episode dates back to when the Dark Lord's victory was just an index card in the writer's room we don't have. Also, there's a bunch more framing devices going on this week. So loosen up those brows for extra furrowing. Enjoy the show.
Hello, test, test. All right, good deal. People of Earth, please attend carefully. I am Baron Shanglebirth Ragoon, steward of the Shrike Valley and humble minion of the Dark Lord, on whose behalf I say unto you, hello from the Magic Tavern. Grundle, play the pipe. Yeah, very good. I guess I should explain why you hear me casting the pod this week. Fear not, your regular hosts, Arnie, Chunt, and Usador, remain unharmed but humble as prisoners of the Dark Lord here in the town of Hogsface. But this week, in a moment of rebellion, Arnie Niekamp threatened not to do the podcast anymore. So, to prove that none may defy the Dark Lord, and that should he wish, he can contact Earth himself, with or without Arnie's assistance, we confiscated Arnie's computer. It's pretty exciting stuff. Now, I'll admit, when I've spoken into the microphone in the past, I was just having a conversation as a traveler in a tavern, so it's not really clear to me what needs to be said here. But luckily, on this first try, it appears that we have an episode already prepared. Arnie, Chunt, and Usador had recorded this after episode 99, but prior to episode 100. But it seems it was never cast to your world, or at least it returned without having reached its destination. Episode 100 is, of course, when the Dark Lord graced this pitiful waterhole with his glorious presence, seized this town, and made prisoners of all who dwell here. It was something to behold, let me tell you. As you listen, do please note the naive optimism on display, the foolish belief of the hosts that they can stand up to the Dark Lord, as though their petty schemes were any match for his terrible machinations. I should warn you, I have listened to the beginning, and there is an otherworldly voice that doesn't seem to be coming from anyone here in Hogsface. I'll be asking my magicians and witches to try and find the source, but in the meantime, enjoy. Or, I don't know, are you supposed to enjoy this? Endure? Listen.
Boom of slot. Warning, people of Earth, and specifically people of Seattle. The following podcast is not real, but it is being recorded live for the Emerald City Comic Con. Thanks for taking a break from your daily Frasier cosplay to attend. And here's a thing for you Uber fans. Earth time proceeds differently than Foon time, so this recording takes place between episodes 99 and 100. Time is funny, isn't it? Well, not funny, haha, but funny non-linear and trapped in a self-fulfilling cycle of destruction. If this doesn't mean anything to you, congratulations, you're probably in a relationship. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern! A weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is an odd time to start. But that's fine. This is all you really need to know. About a year and 11 months ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a slight Wi-Fi signal from that Burger King through the dimensional rift, and I use that to upload a podcast. Thank you. Thank you, Usador. Those back rubs while I give this beginning part is what gets me through. I use that to upload a podcast I record every week here in the tavern, the Vermilion Minotaur, where we all are now, in the town of Hogsface, in the land of Foon. And I'm joined, as always, by my buddies, by my co-hosts, Usador.
I am Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiang Yalak.
Fiang Yalak.
Shut up. The dwarves know me as Zonin Hukstangjis. And I'm... Shut up. And I am known in the northeast as Gasmanius Maystar, and there may be other secret names.
Gasmanius is a real dark horse favorite.
I think it's because it's the one you didn't come up with. And there are other secret names you may not know. Names of great power and terror that would destroy an entire city if they were uttered aloud.
Has your name ever destroyed an entire city?
Yes, I once destroyed the city of Sklim.
I've never heard of the city of Sklim.
You,
well,
that's why.
They were famous for, they had a gymnasium, but then when Usador's full name was said, a bolt of lightning struck and just snapped into the Sklim gym.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
I am also joined by my co-host, Chunt, the King of the Badger.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So, I don't talk about this enough, but you are a shapeshifter.
Yes,
not,
I am.
You are not just a talking badger that looks a little bit like a skunk.
Yeah, well, no, I think that's just genetic. Yes, I am a shapeshifter, so I do have the capability to change into other creatures. Should I have into toi?
What's that now? What's into toi?
It's what I call intercourse.
Oh, okay.
It just sounds fancier.
Uh-huh.
If you told somebody you had intercourse or inter toi, which one's going to start a conversation? Probably both, but inter toi sounds a little bit more well-to-do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, guys, I'm so excited. We're going to finally leave to defeat the Dark Lord in 2 days.
Yeah.
In 2 days, we embark upon the greatest quest that any man, elf, or dwarf has e'er known. Usador shall finally strike out and destroy that Dark Lord that has held us back for so long, and nothing shall come between us and our goal. Not a thing.
And also, we're going to use the Lunar Sword.
I mean, honestly, I went downtown and placed a bet on us. Mm-hmm. 101 to win. I said we're going to win.
Oh,
so I don't see what could go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. We got the Lunar Sword. I'm never going to lose this. Although I have to confess, I briefly lost the Lunar Sword this morning.
What?
I briefly lost it. I was like, you know how you're leaving the house and you're like, keys, wallet, phone, and every once in a while you forget one. You're like, how did I do that? I'm usually like, you know, bag of money, Lunar Sword. I'm like, I don't have the Lunar Sword.
Great story.
Arnie, Usador and I did want to talk to you this morning about, since the battle is coming up, we wanted to talk to you about not just physical strength, not just fighting the enemy with the Lunar Sword, but also being able to mentally combat the enemies.
Oh, wow. What kind of mental challenges will we be expected to have on this quest?
Oh, there's no challenges. We know that you can't do challenges or math, but
fair.
It's just a lot of, like, when you see, like, if you're fighting someone and, like, you take a minute to just be like, what are those pants? And they're like, what? And you're just like, yikes. And then they put down their sword and like, what do you mean? And I'm just like, no, it's just are those the pants you're going to wear to fight? And they're like, I thought so. You know, you just get in their head
and
it shuts them down.
Yeah.
You know?
Usador, what kind of mind games do you play in battle?
Similar ones. If I come up against a gelatinous cube, I say, are you going to wear those pants? And they say, I wear no pants at all. And then they are confused for hours while I sneak right past them. There's a lot of pants-related things.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of pants. And I got to confess, like, are we going to meet a high percentage of creatures that are wearing pants?
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You have to be prepared.
I haven't thought about this at all. I must spend some time consulting one of my talismans as I think about whether or not our enemies shall have pants.
He's going to be like that for a while. You know, some might wear shorts. You know, some might wear cargo pants. Do you have cargo pants on Earth?
Cargo pants on Earth?
We do. They're pants with a lot of pockets.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. You know, I have to confess, maybe it's because I've been in Foon a long time. At first, Foon things and Earth things were very different. But over time, more and more, it's just like, Do you have cargo pants? Yep, same here.
Well, that's because of you, my friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we call that the moth effect.
I'm just glad that I brought cargo pants to Foon. Yeah. If there's one thing a husky man from Chicago was going to bring to a magical world, it's loose-fitting pants with a lot of pockets. On that happy note, let's talk to our guest. Guys, I am so excited. We're going to talk to an artist. You know, we don't really talk about the arts in Foon as much as we probably could. I'm so excited to talk to Charles Schmutz.
Hello.
Hey, Charles, now you're a carfoonist?
I am. I'm a professional carfoonist. I make carfoons. I don't know if you know much about the carfooning arts.
I do not.
Well, it's known as the 12th art on Foon.
The 12th art?
Yeah, there's small horses.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Babies.
Two.
Ugly babies.
Three.
Paintings.
Four.
Paintings of babies.
Five.
Paintings of ugly babies.
Six.
Paintings of horses.
Seven.
Sex.
Eight.
Ugly sex.
Ugly sex.
Nine.
Paintings of ugly sex.
Paintings of ugly sex. That's,
you know,
10.
We don't talk about the decorations in the Vermilion Minotaur too much. Surprising amount of paintings of ugly sex in this place.
Well, there was a big fad a couple years ago, the big ugly sex with the big eyes painting thing.
Thanks for interrupting right before we got to 11.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, 11 is movies, and then 12th is carfoons.
Carfoons?
Yeah.
So what are carfoons?
You're not going to ask what movies are?
Well,
no, you're right. What are carfoons?
No, is this going to be another cargo shorts thing?
Movies are when one of your neighbors is going to leave their house and go somewhere else, and they clearly need help, but you don't want to help them, so you just sit outside and watch them labor over all the boxes, and you just go, look at those movies.
Yeah. And every once in a while, if they're like taking a break, you like snap your fingers and you go, you, haul.
But
if that's an art form, I might already be an artist.
Yeah. What carfooning is if you are good enough at drawing. What happened to that horse?
We're having some horse problems.
Oh no.
What is this?
I'll tend to the horse.
That's the sixth, seventh, and eighth art.
Isidore, can you put a pair of cargo shorts on him?
Bing!
Oh my god!
Whoa!
It happened.
Carfooning is when an artist is good enough and trained enough, he can use magic-infused paints and inks to bring his drawings to life.
Oh, wow.
To delight boys and girls from 9 to 900.
When you turn 901, forget about it.
Yeah. And I'm not licensed to entertain 8-year-olds. You have to be 9. Let's not get into that.
So your drawings come to life?
Well, after quite a bit of training, you can't just... No one can just buy magic paint and try to bring... That would be disastrous.
Sure. Like, what if it's a bad drawing?
Well, that's the problem. So you have to study for many, many years. You have to go to university to learn how to do this. Because if you... Like, for example, my very first carfoon idea, I was really excited about it. It was going to be about this big, fat, orange cat with stripes.
It sounds great.
Yeah. He hated Wednesdays.
Who doesn't hate Wednesdays?
I know. You see, the appeal, broad appeal. And so I had, I had sketched him and I broke out the magic paints and I was thinking about, who he is. And as I'm painting him, like, okay, what are his likes and wants and needs and who does he live with? And it's coming to life. And then he suffocated because I forgot to draw him with lungs.
Oh.
And now his carfoon is that cat's story, but without the cat involved, which is just trippy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Super trippy.
Yeah. I named him Marmaduke. And now it's called Marmaduke minus Marmaduke.
Oh, man.
But no one knows what that means because they never saw Marmaduke because it's creepy because he's a dead cat.
So you have to draw, everything. Everything you forget to include, this living creature has to live without.
Yeah.
And yet everyone can have kids.
What? The next time I tried to make a carfoon come to life, I thought I nailed it. I was like, don't forget... Because you don't draw the lungs, but there's a way to draw a cat where it's clear it has lungs.
Sure.
That's why you went to university to get your training.
Yeah, you look at a cartoon cat and you're like, that cat don't have lungs.
No, yeah. Well, when it's dying in front of you and turning blue.
Yeah.
That was rough. I just said, I'm so sorry. And he was not. Anyway.
And that's actually, we had a famous carfoonist in Foons named Picasso. And he went through a period where all he drew was animals with no lungs. And they all suffocated and turned blue. That's called his blue period. Just reporting the history.
Yeah, no. Art history is important. You take that at Fooniversity.
Yeah, and Arnie, you've heard of Fu, U, and Un, the three goddesses
who created... Yeah, the goddesses of Foon.
Foon. Charles has this Carfoon that reinterprets Fu, U, and Un as three females who come to Foon and live amongst the people. Their names are Angelica, Il Ize, and Peggy. And they come to Foon to work.
Work, work.
I feel like while you were talking, I realized three fundamental truths at the exact same time.
One.
That I wasn't going to understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. One.
Two.
Wait, was that?
That you're like, you're working some of those names really hard. Like, if I, Eliza?
Three.
There wasn't a third. I'm bad at math.
Great, okay.
Checks out.
We need to take a quick break because I'm so excited. We have a new sponsor here in the land of Foon.
A nude sponsor?
Not a nude sponsor. We tried that, and it did not go well. Our new sponsors are coming up, and they are going to they gave us a few coins to sort of talk about their business.
Okay, so this is more of a missed connection. So we were clearing some kobolds out of a sewer.
Maintenance, like they chew through the pipes, and then you get the sewage. It's bad. You don't want kobolds in your sewers.
Really, sewage is bad enough by itself. I don't recommend it. And we got in a situation.
Like, see, sometimes we have these devices for clearing the kobolds, these high ordinance kobold gentle pacifist clearing devices, and the fuses, sometimes they're a little bit off, a little bit short, a little few feet short.
Blew my arms clean off.
So anyway, we come to, and there's this dude, and he's distinctive. He looks, and he's dressed kind of like you, but like fancier.
He smells like the devil's own.
You can't say that here.
Oh, no, the other thing.
This is a tavern.
Okay, well, anyway.
Don't. Come on, for the kids.
Check.
So anyway, he's got this long beard and a robe. It's all caked with, he's in the sewers, you know.
Fancy little hat, littler.
Little, very, very small. And anyway, we'd heard some stories around. We'd heard there'd been a bald guy brought back from the dead. We thought they were just stories. We really did not expect any of this, and we were unprepared for this. We assumed that these were the sort of urban legends you get when you're in sewers a lot, which, yeah, the fumes.
Yeah, fumes and Foon. It's wordplay. So
no.
The next thing we know, my arms are clean back on. I missed them. And Jay's got his face entirely back.
And also, we're wearing these very personally fitted leather pants, which we did not wear first. They are not regulation uniforms for kobold clearing. I just want to make it clear that we did dress correctly to all of the safety standards. And I'm not sure what that had to do with the healing, but I guess the bald dude got a pair, too. I asked around afterwards, so I guess it's some kind of standard thing with that.
But we're, anyway, not sure how to get in touch with this guy. I don't know if wizards, if you guys know each other,
no,
but...
Miles. Don't be racist. Not all wizards know each other.
No,
we do.
Come on.
Anyway, regardless.
We just wanted to say we got your pants cleaned if you want them back.
So, thanks, and that's all.
And of course, visit me at usadorrocks.com, my Squarespace page.
I have a great idea for a new Carfoon, guys.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, it's about kobolds that live in your toilet. And it's called Toilet Bolds, and you gotta crap them all. It's gonna be a hit. It's gonna be a hit.
Now, are these kobolds cute and have different powers?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's a good idea. Yeah, copyright me. Trademark me.
I want to learn a little bit more about, like, your studies. So how do you get into, like, magic? How do you get into the University of Carfooning? Like, do you have to, like, draw a turtle, or?
Yeah, so you... Well, so how I got in was... They send out these little flyers, and it was like, you know, can you draw this badger? And I was like, I don't think that's a badger. I think that's a changeling. And they're like, correct, you're in.
Yeah.
It was a trick question.
Just from the picture.
So they have to draw Chunt, or is it a different changeling that happens to be a badger?
I thought there were other are you the only changeling?
No, there's others. But I do pose for a lot of weird projects.
Do you do that?
Right. Do you still do? We talked about this a little very early on, that you make a lot of extra money just posing for perverts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'll sit down in, like, a diaper and eat oatmeal and stuff. Or I'll do sit-ups while gardening, and they're just like, here's some coin.
How else do you make money?
Wait. Usador, do you do this, too?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of stuff do they have you do?
Well, a lot of times I come to someone's house early in the morning, and I cast a spell of fire and lightning that terrifies them out of their bed, and they say, oh, lo, a wizard has come to lay waste unto mine home. And I say, yea, the wrath of Usador is here to destroy thee. And then I, like, you know, pee in a corner or something.
And I forgot to mention, if anybody listening out there on Earth has a question for us, they can email us at chunt@gmail.com. That's chunt with six T's.
Yeah, we love answering people's emails. So if people want to email, yeah, we will always answer questions.
Yeah.
So, Charles, talk more about the ugly babies.
Have you ever had someone introduce you to their new kid because they had a kid and they mm-hmm. think that makes them special and they just can't stop talking about their kid, even though the kid doesn't really do anything?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, all right, show me this kid. And it's an ugly kid.
Sure.
And then you have to figure out a way to pretend it's not ugly, but you know they know and they know you know they know.
Yeah.
That's art.
That's art.
I mean, there's an art to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we had to study that. You have to learn all the arts to be a cartoonist because you have to understand life to bring drawings to life.
Like, how long do these things live? How long do they live on?
Well, it used to be, before magic paint got regulated, that it would last forever. But then there was this one student who dabbled in some dark art.
Mm-hmm. Dark art, literally.
Dark art. No, yeah. Really drab paints. A lot of grays and blacks. And grays, brown, dark browns. And, well, the legend is the students would say that that cartoonist was so angry and got turned down a lot by both guys and girls at school, and he just put all of his hate into his art, and that he accidentally, we're not supposed to say it, but the legend is he accidentally created the Dark Lord. And then they regulated magic paint so that your cartoons die after, like, 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
They made it so that any paint sold in Foon is very, very tiny and minuscule,
yeah,
and very tender to the touch. It's micro and it's soft.
Oh,
so any paint in Foon is Microsoft paint.
Oh, Microsoft paint. Oh.
Time to check the basement.
No, don't check the basement.
Don't check the basement. That now, explanation
I feel like
reminds me.
The basement in the while.
Yeah, that explanation about Microsoft paint reminds me we're about to go on a long journey.
They keep Microsoft paint next to this sand that you use, because when you're done painting and it's wet, you dry the paint by putting sand on it, and then you brush it off, and that's called Comic Sans.
Oh.
And everyone
not
hates
a fan.
Comic
everyone
Sans.
Hates. Yeah.
Arnie, I got an email here. This is from Aaron Morton. Aaron says, hey, what up?
Should we answer?
Nope. There's also an email here from Macy. Says, for Usador, I don't know how she knew to ask this. She says, what was the name that destroyed Sklim? They're all dead, so it shouldn't matter if we know it, right?
It didn't just destroy that one specific city.
It could destroy any city?
Yes. Now, granted, this city was mostly an outhouse next to a horse post. So a city might be a strong description of what I destroyed.
It's a pretty shitty city.
It was a pretty shitty city.
Guys, I have a great idea for a new cartoon.
Oh!
Yes.
It's called Pretty Shitty City. Trademark Charles Schmutz.
Ooh.
Oh, he beat me to it.
You just got schmutzed.
Now, Charles, are you married?
Yeah, happily married.
That's wonderful. Do you live here in Hogsface?
Yes.
Wonderful. Now, we've never met before. Yet I live here in Hogsface and I've never encountered you.
Well,
but I've enjoyed your work from far away for a long time.
What's some of his work that you've enjoyed seeing from a distance?
I like Marmaduke minus Marmaduke.
It's classic.
I like the one about the dog that always finds a bone in the ground.
Oh, No Shoes for Tuesday?
Yes, No Shoes for Tuesday. There's always a long, elaborate setup, and then it always ends with the dog finding a bone in the ground. And sometimes there's a very elaborate graphic that goes with it. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it's not mean.
I don't like to carfoon down.
Yes, thank you.
You never do that. Have you read The Wizard of Ed?
I have not read The Wizard of Ed.
It'd be right up your alley.
Oh, I should.
It's about this guy, Ed, and he has his own wizard.
He has his own wizard?
Yeah, the wizard lost a bet with him, and now the wizard has to be his butler.
Oh!
So I have a question. I'm just wondering, like, I'm not sure if I've seen some of your carfoons and not realized that you'd drawn them and brought them to life. I've always wondered, there's this small child that's always running around town,
yeah,
hanging out with a giant tiger.
Oh, that's one of mine.
Oh, that's one of yours. Oh, yeah. Good, because I was worried about that child.
No, it's fine. Well, you should be worried about him, because he's dead in 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
And then I got to... You know, funny story, trivia about
that.
But
he lives on in our hearts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Trivia, the first time I drew him, I was like, nailed it, because he got up and just started acting funny, and I'm like, this is going to be a hit. And then about 24 hours later, he started to get really sick and died, and I realized I never drew him with an anus.
Oh.
He was pooping internally.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that was a lesson learned. Let
That's
me tell
sad.
You.
This is a weird question to ask about a child. Did you draw him with a penis? Like, just so he could urinate.
That's
like,
disgusting.
Well, I'm just thinking.
Good
I'm,
question, no, Ani.
I'm just thinking, like, it might be adorable to see that child, like, urinate on a symbol or something.
Oh.
Like,
what if he was peeing on a sign of the smoldering widow?
Hello, Baron Shanglebirth Ragoon, of course. I'm not really sure this is my cup of tea. I actually took great care to follow what Arnie was doing this time. And I have to say, it's not clear to me that he's doing anything in particular. Everyone seems pretty easily distracted. Topics get dropped. People talk over the guest. Speaking of the guest, can you believe they got Schmutz? I love that guy. Anyway, I'm interrupting here because apparently a guard mentioned to Arnie what we were doing, and he begged me not to forget the sponsors. He seems convinced that they're part of the reason he gets to continue doing this podcast, and he seems to believe that if he doesn't thank them, they'll rescind their aid. I mean, I get it. My oldest daughter is going through a phase where she's praying to Foo, Oo, and Oon all the time. And I say to her, praying to Oon didn't save your grandmother from being skeletonized by smorps. But she won't listen. She'll figure it out eventually. Anyway, please do remember, despite whatever they say, this podcast is actually brought to you by the capricious mercy and measured generosity of our Dark Lord.
I've got to tell you, before we go on our quest, Usador has consumption.
I know. We all have a little bit of a cold, I think.
Mm.
Like, we were thinking, like, we should leave on our quest early. Like, why wait 2 more days? Let's head out early. But then we're like, we're sick. Let's give ourselves 2 days to rest. Everything will be fine.
I'm going to find that rock. The healing rock.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, what did you do with the healing rock?
I lost it.
No. I know. Every morning you're like, you leave your place. You're like, I got to bag my coins.
Oh.
I got an email here from Cody. Cody says, since you guys are going on a quest, have you thought about what your group name is going to be?
Oh.
For example, on Earth, there's a group called the Fellowship of the Ring. I was thinking something like Adequate Adventurers or something like that.
How dare you? How dare you? Adequate? Nay. This shall be the grandest adventure ever embarked upon by any man, beast, or child. Yea, we shall sally forth, and we shall destroy that Dark Lord and his evil machinations. Aye, and we shall save every man, woman, and child in Foon in 2 days.
You're having some real hat problems.
I don't think so.
I gotta say, Usador, wizard hats aren't the most practical.
What do you mean?
It just seems like not the most practical thing. Like, it's very, like, wind. It's not very aerodynamic.
But this is where I keep all my stuff.
All of your stuff?
Yes, watch. It's where I keep my magic wand.
Whoa!
And that's where I've been living.
It would be amazing to see you pull more stuff out, but let's not.
Here's an email from Lucy Moonstar, fake name.
Lucy Moonstar?
She says, I thought this was a Magic the Gathering thing. I'm pleasantly surprised. Arnie, are you going to learn any magic for the quest?
I mean, I already know Gaeliv Lichtenkammer.
Oh.
Very good.
Yeah, I lit all the candles, which we can all see. I would love to learn magic. Like, how much magic is a mere human able to learn?
Well,
like Charles, you know some amount of magic.
It was the magic's inside you the whole time. I could teach you how to draw
a rudimentary carfoon, and you could watch it come to life.
Wow.
If you'd like.
That's a big responsibility.
Yeah, for at least 3 weeks.
For at least 3 weeks.
You know
weeks.
What? Maybe you, if you're going on a big quest, maybe you shouldn't, unless you have something that could take care of your carfoon while you're gone.
But I do have to confess, I mean, I do have experience with taking care of something I brought into this world for at least 3 weeks.
What are you talking about?
No, I don't want to talk about Earth stuff. Charles, is there a price for this magic?
I'm afraid there is.
What is it?
What's the price? Oh, sorry. Guys,
what's the
price? I got to get better at follow-up questions.
It's about 65 an hour, and I mean...
Oh.
65
but it seems
push-ups?
To really weigh on you, the 65.
Well...
You seem so sad about it.
Yeah. Well, there's not much you can do with 65 coins, so...
Yeah.
You can't really make a living on that. And you can only draw so many carfoons to come to life to then slaughter and kill for food. Because you can't afford to buy food... Because nobody wants to buy your carfoons.
Oh.
And you're still 35 away from an extra life.
What?
Every 100 coins, you get an extra life.
What's this?
We haven't told you about that?
No.
About that?
In Foon, if you collect 100 gold coins, you get an extra life.
Why have I been spending all those coins?
I don't know.
You have
you
a death wish?
Saved them up for this quest.
Yeah. So if I die on this quest...
You're done.
I'm done. Oh, man.
We'll find some mushrooms along the way. Don't worry.
Hey, Arnie.
Yeah?
Never mind.
What? What is it, Chunt, buddy?
I feel really bad for Lucy Moonstar.
Yeah.
I feel like if she came here wanting to see Magic the Gathering, we should give her Magic the Gathering.
Well, what is Magic the Gathering?
I don't know.
In Foon. Oh, we should give her...
Yeah, you talk us through it, and we'll give it to her.
Well, on Earth, as I understand it, Magic the Gathering... is a card game that you get into in college and then spend a little too much money on it, periodically have to call your mother for more money, then eventually you fall out of school.
Oh, we have that. We call it drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
More Glorb and, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, my my sophomore college roommate, exactly that's what happened to him.
He was a fresh man?
He was a fresh...
You said my freshman...
Well, I got to be honest with you. Wasn't the freshest man. It's a game. Well, like, Chunt, you know, like, you love to play games and make up games.
Sure.
Like, do you have any... Did you bring any games in your brain today?
Nope.
No? Did any of us bring anything in our brains today?
Yes.
Usador, what did you bring in your brain?
Every manner of... scheme and plot to defeat that Dark Lord. Yea, for my many plans are already in motion. Yea, the quest doth begin in but 2 days' time. But that does not mean that there are other methods, other avenues for us to win.
I actually did bring in game.
Yeah, let's just glaze over what he said.
Do you want to play it? You have to go first.
Oh, great.
Sure. So this is called Bards Against Humility.
Okay. All right.
And what happens is you're a bard, you have to sing a limerick, and you have to not embarrass yourself. You have to fight against being humiliated.
Oh, okay.
So you're a bard against humility.
Okay. What is my limerick about?
Let's say it's about this card game, Magic the Gathering.
Oh, boy.
Or just or your college experience.
My college experience or Magic the Gathering. All right. There was a young lad from Ohio. Oh, boy, what a great word to rhyme with.
You're losing.
Oh, boy. There once was a boy from Ohio.
Why did you give yourself the same last word again?
Yeah. There once was a boy from Ohio. There once was a boy from Ohio. He then went to college. He then went to college. There once was a boy from Ohio.
Now, Chunt, can you explain the rules of the game to me again?
Yeah, so somebody is the bard, they play the bard, and therefore they sort of put out musically a limerick, and they try and avoid being humiliated by their limerick or lack thereof.
Ah, I see. So I should do this now, then?
Yes.
Are you going to do a limerick about your time in college? Or maybe you have had one cooking already?
No, I'll do one about college. Usador attended the great halls of Tarakas. Chickens have Quakers. Kobolds have Koloakas.
My favorite nursery rhyme.
There, I became even more blue. My powers became strong and became true. And with these great powers, with the great Dark Lord, I'll get into a fracas.
Jen, did you want to play your own game?
No, I'm good.
The guest is always welcome to play.
Oh, what was the game again?
It's Bards Against Humility. Here, I'll give an example.
Okay.
Arnie always says I look like a skunk, and that puts me in quite a funk. Because you bet your bottom buck, I'm cool as fuck. And Arnie's just a weak-ass little punk.
Whoa. Yeah, all right.
I don't like sitting between you two.
Yeah. It's never fun when a whole tavern, like, cheers a burn on you. Have you ever been in a tavern and someone, like, made fun of you and the whole tavern's like, yeah! Oh, thank you. Oh, people, everyone in the tavern is just yelling people they love. They don't have to be people that are present.
I love Jen Levia!
I moderately like all of you.
Oh, wow,
that must be, that's Lucy Moonstar, I bet.
Charles, do you have any, like, aspirations for the future?
Oh, you didn't want me to do the limerick?
Oh, no, I do, sorry, yes.
Oh.
Jeez, Arnie, that's a guess.
Because I'm not afraid. Limericks are the 13th art. I didn't want to tell you.
13. Wow.
Yeah. It's an unlucky art.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, some buildings are just like, let's skip this art.
Yeah. They go straight to the 14th art.
Which is?
Improvisation.
14.
More of a craft.
Yeah.
I was going to say more of a skill that needs to be learned.
Yeah.
See, I don't believe in improvisation because then people are like, I moderately like you.
I want to try the 13th art.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
There once was an artist from Foon who tried to make a drawing too soon. An orange cat he tried, no lungs, so it died. What was the first word? Foon? So he killed it with the blunt end of a spoon.
Ooh, yeah.
It was my first one, so.
I think we may be running short on time, but Charles, sort of before we go,
yeah.
are there any new sort of carfoons that you're working on or new projects you're looking forward to?
Oh, yeah. My newest project is about this guy from another planet called Murph. And he fell through this hole behind a restaurant, and he came to a magical land.
Huh.
And he has a friend who's a red wizard.
Hmm.
And another friend who never changes into anything. He's always the same every day and not funny at all.
Because sounds so relatable.
And it's going to be a huge, huge, huge hit. Believe me.
All of these things are going to be brought to life?
Eventually, yeah. If I can remember to draw them with lungs and an asshole. At least 3 weeks.
Please, draw me without an asshole.
So just you then, not the wizard or the...
Yeah, they can have as many... Well, they can have their two.
No, I meant if I draw you without any assholes, then I can't draw the wizard or the badger.
Oh.
Good thing this is an idea you made up.
Yeah. Sorry. Carfoonists. We like guys named Arnie. We sometimes want to defend the guy named Arnie.
No, thank you. That means a lot, Charles. I'm
no,
really
no problem.
Excited to see
well, you're the one that asked me to be, you know, on your podcast, and yeah. I so appreciate it.
Yeah. And you know what, though? I mean, I know that Usador and Chunt make fun of me out of love. Or maybe I'm just in denial. I've never seen Chunt's face crack so completely when I said that.
I'm just thinking of ugly babies.
Sure. Oh, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I had gotten in on that ugly baby craze, holy crap, I'd have so many extra lives right now.
Well, Charles, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Are you kidding me?
And Usador and Chunt, thanks so much for always being here with me.
'Tis mine pleasure. And it is also my pleasure to announce that in 2 days' time, we shall embark upon the greatest quest ever undertaken by anyone from Foon.
Yeah, and I love you, Arnie. I'm gonna go check the basement.
Don't worry. We're gonna leave. Why do we need to keep worrying about stuff here?
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. And I just want to thank everyone in the tavern for putting up with us every week. I know we sometimes get a little rowdy, but we just we're happy that you take time to sort of put up with us. And as we go, I just want to say there once was a boy from Ohio. He forgot what he was going to say. There once was a boy from Ohio.
Arnold.
It's Arnie.
I love you, but you make it hard.
There once was a boy from Ohio. He was very lucky. Oh, my, oh. He went on
Glad we stuck around.
He went on a quest with his friends who are the best. And that's the end. Hey, bio! Thank you so much. We're Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Oh, wow. I mean, they got really close to discovering the magical portal we were building in the basement there. I mean, I know how it all turned out, of course. It would be blasphemy to doubt the surety of the Dark Lord's gambits. I mean, just listening, I got a little nervous there. Anyway, it's very important to me that I clarify to any people of Earth listening that the Dark Lord is not a painting come to life. I mean, that is a true story, but it refers to a previous Dark Lord, a failed Dark Lord, who held the Book of Sight in his hand but squandered its gifts, who had not the strength or the vision to bring his will to manifestation. And where he failed, my Dark Lord, our true Dark Lord, will most surely succeed. He will sweep away his enemies like dust. He will make life and death and magic his servants, and he will shatter the very pillars of Foon and remake it in his own image. I see that we've got some emails. I do understand this bit. Let me see what we've got here. If you wish to contact the show, the email address is magictavern@puppies.supplies. It is important to state that this is a real email address. This email, yo, my boyfriend and I are arguing whether or not Foon has glasses, like eyeglasses. I say they do. My boyfriend disagrees. I highly doubt every creature on Foon has 20/20. Joey and a Eddie. Now, by eyeglasses, do you mean glass eyes? Because we do have a number of those. I don't know whether people ever lose their eyes on Earth, but here in Foon, there are all sorts of reasons your eye may pop out of your skull, and sometimes, before you can get it back in, someone will just come along and gobble it up. Also, you're right. Not every creature has 20 out of 20 eyes. The only creatures I can think of who have 20 eyes are double spiders, or the wall of eyes. Well, actually, the wall of eyes usually has more eyes than that. Joey and Eddie, I don't know. Praise the Dark Lord. Dear Arnold, Usador, and Chunt, I am currently renaming all of my computer's host names to be restaurants in Foon. Besides the Vermilion Minotaur and Choo Choo's Chow, what other restaurants, line, taverns are there in Foon? Thanks, Darren, Master of Digital Manipulations. Well, Darren, I'll be happy to answer that question, but first of all, let me say, welcome. If you are a Master of Digital Manipulations, there is a place for you with the Dark Lord. We have so many fingers that get cut off in accidents, and we just do not have enough magic doers to enchant them to form finger balls, finger spiders, finger chains. If you have made that your cause, please get ready to join the Dark Lord when we arrive on Earth. As for restaurants, here in the town of Hog's Face, besides the Vermilion Minotaur and Choo Choo's Chow, which of course has been shut down, there is, of course, the Smoldering Widow. There is the Crying Basilisk, although that's more a brunch place. If you're ever in Skur, there's the Hangry Hippo. I had a meal once at Club 54, which you go into one door, and then some animal is pushed in, and before it makes it to your table, it is hit with 54 clubs, and it shows up, oh, so tender. Pinto Poison, it's just a name. They actually serve their drinks in quarts. I wish I knew more. I really don't go out that much. I've got my own cook, and when I'm not traveling with my cook, I'll just kind of go into a house and tell the people there that if they don't make me dinner, I'll kill them. Oh, wow. That is kind of exhausting. I guess I will bid you goodbye, and I will be taking Arnie up on his offer to come back next week. Arnie seemed so much happier when the tavern was at capacity, as it was, you know, in the episode we listened to. Yeah, stuff has sort of slowed down here in Hog's Face. The folks have got back to their routines. I think we might be lifting the curfew and allowing more individuals back into the Vermilion Minotaur. That should cheer up Arnie, Chunt, and Usador a bit and keep them happy and podcasting. So, with that, I will leave you. People of Earth, I have been Baron Shanglebirth Ragoon, proud foot soldier in the army of the Dark Lord, who will soon have all of Foon under his control before he brings his wonder and majesty directly to you. Oh, let's see. How does this stop? How do we stop this? This is still going. Oh. Halt. Halto. Damn it. Get me Arnie. No, the human. Get me the human. Oh, sorry. No, the Earth. Get me the Earth man. Oh, for the Dark Lord's sake, how do you turn this off?
Remember me? If this were Inception, I think I'd be the van going off the bridge. Thank God none of this is happening, because I doubt I could explain it. Usador the Wizard, aka Hat Problems, was played by Matt Young. Chunt the Badger, aka Limerick Uphill Battle, was played by Adol Rafai. Charles Schmutz the Carfoonist was played by special guest Scott Kurtz, the creator of the webcomics PvP and Table Titans. He's also Binwin the Dwarf, from Binwin's Minions and Acquisitions Incorporated. The brief cameo of the Kobold Hunters was by the hosts of the podcast, Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men, which you can find at explainthexmen.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Baron Ragoon was played by Chris Rathchen. Finally, there once was a man who confessed. World protecting was his interest. If you are from Ohio, don't rhyme with Ohio when Scott Bio surpasses the test. Take it, Craig.
Hello from the Magic Tavern was produced by Arnie Niekamp, Evan Jacover, and Ryan DiGiorgi. This one edited by Garrett Schultz. Music by Andy Poland, logo by Allard Lebon, additional audio effects by Jason Knox. Production assistance by Garrett Schultz. Visit us at hellofromthemagictavern.com or on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op, and extra special thanks to Earwolf, Craig Cast. Welcome to CraigCast. I'm Craig. I don't have a guest today, but I did want to talk about something kind of important. I found this strange note in my sleeping pod here. It says, I am Rob. I think that's what it says. Anyway, the penmanship here is terrible. I am Rob. It looks like me when I try to write with my left hand, which is still sparking weirdly. Well, that's all for today's CraigCast. I've got to go find out who Rob is. Wait a minute, Rob? Could that be Robot? Oh, it's from Robot Arnie. What a scamp.